basically seeing spirit in matter. So how to perceive spirit in matter? That is the first set of verses. And then 32 to 34,
basically Brahman realization, how to see spirit everywhere. Seeing all as spirit. So the next one is verse 35 to 39, knowing Paramatma and Bhagavan. So that's where this section, this series of section concludes. Now we'll go in there. So I did not put all the verses, whichever I thought maybe you know. So I just put those verses. So we'll recite together. Janma guhyam bhagavato yaye dat prayato naraha sayam pratar granam bhaktya dukkha gramat vimuchyate. So translation. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. So this is the Phalashruti. So anyone who recites, not even, you know, just recites this specific passage of verses about the appearance of the Lord, anyone who recites with devotion in the morning and in the evening, he gets relief from all miseries of life. So with that, let's go into the purport. This beautiful purport, I don't want to miss anything, so I put the whole purport by Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Personality of Godhead has declared that anyone who knows the principles of the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord will go back to Godhead. What verse is that?
Yeah,
4 or 9. Janma karma cha medivyam. So, after being relieved from this material tabernacle, so simply knowing factually the mysterious way of the Lord's incarnation in this material world can liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, the birth and activities of the Lord as manifested by Him for the welfare of the people in general are not ordinary. So what Prabhupada is trying to emphasize is the Lord's appearance and activities, they are transcendental. If they are not transcendental, how can they give one liberation? Because most impersonalists, they say, oh, you know, God, you know, he assumed this form, but he had a material form. No, it's not material form. If it is material form, when you talk about his appearance, when you talk about his activities, how does it award liberation? So Prabhupada says it's not ordinary. They are mysterious, and only by those who carefully try to go deep into the matter by spiritual devotion is the mystery discovered. This is directly from Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yashchashma tattvataha. So only by devotion service one can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Right? Actually, it's more precisely, it's 11.54. Bhaktyatu ananya shakyaha aham evam vidurjana. Nyatum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum cha parandava. Actually, Prabhupada very specifically states that one can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. This is exactly what Prabhupada says in the translation. So, thus one gets liberation from material bondage. It is advised, therefore, that one who simply recites this chapter of Bhagavatam, describing the appearance of the Lord in different incarnations, in sincerity and devotion, the two things very, 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 very important, which I don't have. Since sincerity and devotion, anybody who recites can have insight into the birth and activities of the Lord. The very word vimukti or liberation indicates that the Lord's birth and activities are transcendental. Otherwise, simply by reciting them, one could not attain liberation. They are therefore mysterious, and those who do not follow the prescribed regulations of devotional service are not entitled to enter into the mysteries of his birth and activities. So this is actually opposite of 11.54. He says, negative injection. So one who does not do bhakti, for him it's hard to understand what is Krishna and his transcendental activities. So this is the Phalashruti. So what is Prabhupada offering us? What is ISKCON offering everyone to the world with this Phalashruti? So we just talked about this verse Sudha Goswami is giving, but how does it relate to us now? And how does it, what is it, you know, what is the influence of Srila Prabhupada or what is the influence of ISKCON in the community? We are giving opportunity to everybody to realize that Krishna's appearance and, you know, activities are transcendental, and, you know, gives an opportunity, facility everybody to practice so that they all can get liberation. So basically, in other words, is Prabhupada wants everybody to be liberated and go to, you know, Golgotha. And as devotees, what's our mood should be? So basically, we should actually try to reach out to people who don't know about Krishna. Tell them about Krishna. So that is our real service mood should be. So the Phalashruti is not only for us, and also that's what Chaitanya Prabhu says, you know. Basically, we have to go and whoever you see, talk about Krishna. Jaradako Tarekaho Krishna Upadesh. Why? By doing this, everybody can get liberated. Phala is fruit. So what is the benefit of, you know, yeah, what is the benefit of hearing? So, with that, we'll go, Phala Shruti, so next verse, from 30 to 31, I think it talks about the seeing spirit and matter. The conception of Virat, universal form of the Lord, as appearing in the material world, is imaginary. It is to enable the less intelligent and neophytes to adjust to the idea of the Lord's having form. But factually, the Lord has no material form. So now, we talked about all the incarnations, and Sudha Goswami gave the benediction for all the hearers. Okay, this is what. Now he goes by category. Different people in different category, how each one of them identify with Krishna. So first he talks about Virat Roop or Vishwaroop or the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right, where Arjuna wanted to see the Vishwaroop form. So here Prabhupada very nicely explains that the Virat Roop or Vishwaroopa is not one of the incarnation of the Lord. Is Virat Roop or Vishwaroopa is one of the incarnation of the Lord? Why it is not listed in the incarnations? So Prabhupada says, the conception of the Lord known as Vishwaroopa or Virat Roopa is particularly not mentioned along with the various incarnations of the Lord, because all the incarnations of the Lord mentioned above are transcendental and there is not a tinge of materialism in their bodies. The conclusion is that the material conception of the body of the Lord as Virat is imaginary. So Prabhupada says this is imaginary. Why? Somebody who cannot perceive anything other than matter, who is in that stage? So Sudha Goswami, you know, basically is telling, they can actually at least go and see different forms of matter and then try to identify with the form of the Lord. So the conclusion is that the material conception of the body of the Lord as Virat is imaginary. Both the Lord and the living beings are living spirits and have original spiritual bodies. In other words, what Prabhupada very nicely says is, even the living being, when we think we have this material body, but he says it's imaginary. Why? It's not factual. It's temporary. So Prabhupada very nicely connects that anybody thinks that Lord has a material form, and any spiritual being thinks that I have a material body, it's imaginary. Why? Both of them are not factual. So in this one, actually, Bhurijana Prabhu goes a little bit more detail. The two questions is Virat Roopa is one of the incarnation or not? And then, so what does it mean? Okay, if Virat Roopa is not incarnation, so does the Lord, when he comes, does he have a material body? No. No. Prabhupada very clearly says, the Lord is transcendental. There is no difference between Lord and his form or body. It's purely, no, it's absolute. So how can the Lord have a material form? So that's what Prabhupada says. It's clearly imaginary. For a neophyte who cannot identify anything with spirit, he can just perceive matter. So the Lord, you know, basically Sudha Goswami explains, they can perceive the Lord through, you know, different material manifestation in the Virat Roop, where, you know, the veins are the rivers, the mountains are the bones, and the hairs are the trees, all those different forms. But it is not real, it's just imaginary. So now, let's go to the next one. It says, clouds and dust are carried by the air, but less intelligent persons say that the sky is cloudy and the air is dirty. Similarly, they also implant material body conceptions on the spirit self. This goes both ways. As a very, you know, this is Sudha Goswami gives us the example. So a simple example is, when we say the sky is cloudy, actually there is a difference between sky and the cloud. The cloud resides in the sky. But we say the sky is cloudy. No, there is no connection. But in a normal verbiage, when we speak, we say the sky is cloudy. So similarly, when anybody thinks that the Lord has a material form, you know, the Lord is not material. The Lord is all spiritual. But anybody who cannot perceive, you know, he can, you know, for a neophyte, he can think, you know, the Lord has this kind of, you know, you can perceive the Lord through these forms. So, simple example, Prabhupada explains, when a president goes in the car, right, hey, you know, there goes the president. Actually, his car goes, right, but for the time being, a person, you know, he cannot see the president. There's so much crowd. Hey, there goes the president, right? So president is identified with the car. So when the president goes out in his particular car, we say there is the president. For the time being, we identify the car with the president. Similarly, less intelligent men who want to see God immediately without necessary qualification are shown first the gigantic material cosmos as the form of the Lord, although the Lord is within and without. So, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was very fond of this Virat Roop, Vishwarupa, right? Especially from South India, I think most of the people say, oh, Krishna, he showed the Vishwarupa, that's why he is God. That's true, but that Vishwarupa is just, you know, a person who cannot perceive. Why Arjuna asked this question? Arjuna is Nitya Siddha, Nitya Suri. Why did he ask? Because he knows most of the people are in material platform, who cannot understand, appreciate the Lord's transcendental form. They can only relate to within the material realm. So that's why he asked this question, so that people can actually relate to him in a different, in that way. So there is no difference between Lords within and without. So he's all transcendental. But anybody who thinks the Lord's material, you know, then he is in that material category. He is in that low category. For him to gradually elevate, this is an opportunity. So verse 32, beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety. Otherwise, he could not have repeated births. So, basically going from matter, now we are going to from gross to subtle. So, anybody who can see matter, for them, the Virat Roop. So, now going one step above. Right? From matter, you are going to see the spirit now. So, anybody who can identify with the spirit. The conclusion is that the Lord is eternally existent in his transcendental form, which is neither gross nor subtle like that of a living being. His body is never to be compared to the gross and subtle bodies of living being. All such conceptions of God's body are imaginary. The living being has his eternal spiritual form, which is conditioned only by his material contamination. So in other words, we cannot compare ourselves and the Lord. We have a gross body and we have a subtle body. But the Lord, he doesn't have a gross body, he doesn't have a subtle. The Lord is all spiritual. So that's why he says, without the formal shape, unseen, unheard and unmanifest. This is actually, we are talking about Brahman, the all spiritual nature. So from matter, one goes further beyond, you know, try to understand ourselves that, you know, we are not the body, but we are the, you know, subtle body, that we are not even the subtle body, we are the spirit soul. So that's the gradual realization for our own self. But what Prabhupada is trying to clearly he states here is that the Lord's body and our body is different, because the Lord's body is all transcendental, whereas us, we have the gross and subtle material bodies. Whenever a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. So now, from material, you went to the subtle. And then now from subtle, you are trying to understand that I have nothing to do with this subtle body. I have nothing to do with this material body. But I am the spirit soul. This is a, you know, stage of self-realization or Brahman realization. At that time, he sees himself as well as the Lord. Purport, this Prabhupada beautifully explains. Self-realization means becoming indifferent to the needs of gross and subtle bodies and becoming serious about activities of the self. You know, we are all, you know, this actually really struck me, because we say we are in the path, we have been devotional service for several years, this and that, but if I really examine myself, what level am I in? That means, you know, am I indifferent to the needs of my gross body and subtle body? What is the level I am in? So we can actually gauge. So Prabhupada very nicely puts, self-realization means becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle bodies and becoming serious about the activities of the self. So that means when there is a service, when you have to do, there may be so many impediments. There are so many impediments, gross impediments, there may be subtle impediments. But am I going beyond all those things, and am I persistent with my service? If I am not, then I should see where I am. So I hope we all can relate to that. At least I can relate to that, because I am not there. So, Therefore, a man who is engaged in activities of the self is called Jivan Mukta. So, you all know the definition of Jivan Mukta. What is it? Nectar of devotion. We all memorized in Bhakti Shastri. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira Nicholas Fabi avastashu Jivan Muktasa Uchede. So, what does it mean? Iha yasya harer dasye. In this material world, harer dasye, one becomes a servant of Lord Hari. By what? Karmana manasa gira. By words, by deeds and activities. By mind. Nicholas Fabi avastashu. Basically, all the time, trying to serve. Jivan Mukta Savuchyate. So, Prabhupada very clearly says, therefore, a man who is engaged in the activities of the self is called Jivan Mukta, or a liberated person, even in the conditional existence. This is exactly from Ihayase Harer Dasi. So, yeah, we all can, you know, see where we stand and how we need to make progress. Nikaleshvapi means all of your senses, all of your existence. Nicholas means everything.
Avastha
means all the time. Avastha, maybe somebody can explain.
In all avasthas, basically.
All the circumstances.
So the purport is very, very beautiful, Prabhupada. Actually, I want to read from. Actually, I put purport, but I also referring to Bhurijana Prabhu. Very, very nicely explains. Basically, so, in Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 1, Jiva Goswami comments that of the three features of the Absolute Truth mentioned in Bhagavatam 1.2.11, which is the Vadanti Tattva Vidas, text 33 of this chapter describes the Lord's Brahman feature. So, we are talking about 33 now, Brahman feature. And the purports to text 34 and 33 are presented respectively, are potent and sweet. Actually, we will finish 34 and come. So, 34... If the illusory energy subsides and the living entity becomes fully enriched with knowledge by the grace of the Lord, then he becomes at once enlightened with self-realization and thus becomes situated in his own glory. So first verse we talked about, anyone who realizes he has nothing to do with the material body or subtle body, then you know he can see his own self and as well as the Lord. Now, how that is happening? That is happening when the illusory energy subsides. Why? We are all conditioned. We are covered up by the illusory energy. When the illusory energy subsides and the living entity becomes fully enriched with knowledge by the grace of the Lord, it's not by our own endeavor, by the grace of the Lord, then he becomes at once enlightened with self-realization and thus becomes situated in his own glory. This is how. So first one is what? This is how. Purport, the example of electrical energy, Krishna can change external energy into internal energy by his will. Example. So, before going there, I just want to read from Bhurijana Prabhu. So, this 33 and 34 verses are connected. Brahman realization. How one can get Brahman realization? So, 33 is what? We need to realize that we are not the matter, we are spirit. And 34 is how? So, let's listen from Bhurijana Prabhu. So, Krishna Sandarbha Anucheda 1 Jiva Goswami comments that of the three features of the Absolute Truth mentioned in Bhagavatam 1.2.11, text 33 of this chapter describes the Lord's Brahman feature. The purports to text 34 and 33 presented respectively are potent and sweet. Actually, he swaps here. 34 comes first, 33 comes second. It's very, very beautiful. Prabhupada says, the external energy which now bewilders the living being into the continuation of birth and death is turned into internal potency by the will of the Lord. To lead the living being to eternal life, when a living being thus graced by the Lord, he is placed in his proper constitutional position to enjoy eternal spiritual life. So this is, I've never heard of this. The same external energy is transformed into internal energy by the will of Lord. So anybody, most of you, you know, you can relate a poem composed by Prabhupada when he came to US. Prabhupada says, very beautifully, he actually paraphrases the same thing. Boro Krupa. You know the song, right? Boro Krupa. Koilo Krishna. Right? In that song, Prabhupada writes, oh my Lord, right? You know, the living beings came into conditional existence because of your will. And if you will, by your will, they can actually be liberated. And the same thing Prabhupada says here. The external energy which now bewilders the living entity into continuation of birth and death is turned into internal potency by the will of the Lord to lead the living entity into eternal life. So it's the will of the Lord. When a living being thus graced by the Lord, he is placed in his proper constitutional position to enjoy eternal spiritual life. Now going back to 33. This perfect stage of realization is attained not by artificial means, but under the lotus feet of the Lord. It's here. Yeah. This perfect stage of realization is attained not by artificial means, but under the lotus feet of the Lord, who is always transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is present in everyone's heart, and from him only all knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness takes place. When the living being desires to be an enjoyer of material energy, illusory phenomena, the Lord covers the living entity in the mystery of forgetfulness. And thus the living being misinterprets the gross body and subtle mind to be his own self. And by culture of transcendental knowledge, when the living being prays to the Lord for deliverance from the clutches of forgetfulness, the Lord by his causeless mercy removes the living being's illusory curtain, and thus he realizes his own self. He then engages himself in the service of the Lord in his eternal constitutional position, becoming liberated from the conditioned life. All this is executed by the Lord either through his external potency or directly by the internal potency. So, yes. Actually, this is 33 purport and 34 purport. The one I read before was 34 purport. So, what Duryodhana was telling, basically he is telling when one prays to the Lord, when by the grace of the Lord, external energy is transformed into internal energy, then he is put in the proper position. Yeah. And that is not happening by our own endeavor. It's by the will of the Lord. So, in 34, Prabhupada also very nicely explains the purport, electrical energy. Right? An expert electrician, what can he do? The same electrical energy, he can use it for heating and he can use it for cooling. So, the Lord can change external energy to internal energy. So, Krishna can change the external energy into internal energy by his will. So, example, for this beautiful, this is from Bhurijana Prabhu's Unveiling the Lotus Feet. Parikshit Maharaj and Vidura, how they handled, how the external energy, you know, they took it as internal energy. Right? The Brahmana cursed him, you will die in 7 days. But Parikshit Maharaj, he took the same thing as a benediction from the Lord. And he became closer to the Lord. No, that's how Bhavada Masar, you know, they said it. And then Vidura. Vidura was insulted by Duryodhana. Duryodhana insulted him like anything. But Vidura took it as this is internal potency of the Lord. So he became closer to Krishna. So similarly in our life, there are so many things are happening, will happen by the external energy. But it's up to us how we have to react. So we can use, if that incident takes you closer to Krishna, that means Krishna is there with you, guiding you as an internal energy. If this incident or if whatever the situation takes you away from Krishna, that means we are under the influence of the external energy.
Yeah, I heard this one time. I think Arjuna Swami said that the difference between external and internal energy, one takes you away from Krishna, that brings you closer to Krishna.
Yep. So the same external energy can be internal energy, provided with our sincerity and, you know, with whatever mood in serving Krishna.
On this topic, going through, I think 4 or 5 years back, he was explaining, ultimately there is only one thing, there is energy of the Lord. That's it. The pure devotee sees everything as internal energy. But for conditioned living entity, the same internal energy acts as a external energy. Ultimately there is only one thing, that is Shakti of the Lord. So, the classification is, it actually goes away for pure devotee. This is only the energy of the Lord everywhere.
Yeah, I think Prabhupada states it in this purport. Yeah, purport, I'm going to read from purport 34. Because the Lord is absolute and transcendence, all of his forms, names, pastimes, attributes, associates and energies are identical with him. His transcendental energy acts according to his omnipotency. The same energy acts as his eternal, external, internal. The same energy acts as his external, internal and marginal energies. and by his omnipotency, he can perform anything and everything through the agency of the above energies. He can turn external energy into internal energy by his will. Therefore, by his grace, the external energy which is employed in illusioning those living beings who want to have it subsides by the will of the Lord in terms of repentance and penance for the conditioned soul. So this is key 2 points. When we sincerely repent and when we sincerely perform penance. So then, by the will of the Lord, the external energy will become internal energy. And the very same energy then acts to help the purified living being make progress on the path of self-realization. The example of electrical energy is very appropriate in this connection. The expert electrician can utilize the electrical energy for both heating and cooling by adjustment only. Similarly, the external energy which now bewilders the living being into continuation of birth and death is turned into internal potency by the will of the Lord to lead the living being to eternal life. When a living being thus graced by the Lord, he is placed in his proper constitutional position to enjoy eternal spiritual life. So with that we go to verse 35. So we just stopped Brahman realization. From now, Paramatma and Bhagavan realization. So this is a beautiful verse. I really liked it. That's why I put the verse, and also there's some color coding. You can actually, we all can recite together. Evam janmani karmani hi akartur ajanasya cha varnayanti sma kavayo veda guhyani hritpate. The learned men describe the births and activities of the unborn, inactive, which is undiscoverable even in the Vedic literatures. He is the Lord of the heart. Okay, this is a lot of points in this verse. The learned men describe the births and activities of the unborn and inactive. So there is contradiction here. They describe the birth of who is unborn. They describe the activities of who is inactive. So this is Achintya Veda Beda. Right? Similar to what we have in 9.4 and 5. Right? Bhagavad Gita. So, evam janmani. So, if you look at janmani and then ajanasya. Janmani is who is taking birth. Ajanasya is who is unborn. Karmani is whose activities, and then akratur, one who is not doing any activity. So, that means Lord's birth and activity is not material, it's spiritual. So, there's a beautiful sloka in Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Ajobisan avyayatma. Aja, I am unborn. Avyayatma, bhutanam ishwarobisan. Sambhavami atmaya. I come by my own internal potency. My own internal will I come. Even though I am unborn. Even though he is unborn, he appears in every millennium. Right? Purport. We should always take advantage of the narrations of the activities of the Lord, which are meditations on Brahman, in the most convenient and palatable form. Prabhupada very, very nicely puts here. So, Brahman, what can you talk about Brahman? Okay. Eternity. Okay, eternity. Light. Okay, what is next? So, Prabhupada says, we should take advantage of the narrations of the activities of the Lord, which are meditations on Brahman in the most convenient and palatable form. Yeah. So, another one is Veda Guhyani. Yeah. Advayam, non-dual. The same Lord is non-dual. He is Brahman, he is Paramatma, he is Bhagavan. But how can you glorify Brahman? Brahman is the feature, right? There is no personality. So what he is doing is the same. The same all spirit, the supreme absolute truth. The same Brahman. But you go to the God. If you want to glorify, you have to go to the activities of the Lord. You have to go to the birth of the Lord. This is targeting towards impersonalist. That.
However, impersonalists can also twist this word. Thus, the learned men describe birth and activities of unborn and inactive. They say, now everything is unborn.
Anyways, impersonalist twist. That's why we have Prabhupada.
But the point is that they are learned men and they still describe.
So, this is gradual, you see. Gradual.
For Prabhupada, this purport is to bring them to this platform.
No, they will not read this book anyways.
So, we are all impersonalists. We are hostile. It's for us. Right, we always have this impersonal conception, right? It's not that Prabhupada writes so many things about impersonalism. Why? Actually, it's for us. Because we are impersonal.
No, but right? By reading this, somebody like me could be confused.
No. You should not be confused.
No, but I think the learned men, right?
Yeah, learned men.
That's very important. It's not just the, you know,
average men.
Normal or foolish people. The learned
See,
men.
The point is the most.
Describing the person's activity.
Yeah.
Even though they know that.
Okay, so yeah, let me explain now. So we talked about first one who is materialist, one who can see nothing but matter. He only sees Virat Roop. So next he goes to one who sees spirit.
Subtle.
Yeah, grass and subtle. Grass and subtle. Then one who goes beyond grass and subtle. I don't have to do anything with this grass body, subtle body. Then he goes to spirit. Then he sees his own self and the Lord. And then Lord says, how? It's by the will. His will. Right? And that will happen only by bhakti. He is not going to, that illusory energy will not be withdrawn unless you are graced by the Lord. For that, you need to go to Bhakti Atu Ananya Shakya, you need to have devotional service. So now, one who has attained that position, who has realized that I am not the body, I am not the grass body, I am not the subtle body, I am the spirit soul, and who is sincerely practicing devotional service, he glorifies. So, to come to this point, one has to come to that level.
So, now I get it. So, the learned man is somebody who has transcended those.
Yes, who is learned man?
So, the person is fall under just realizing the spirit.
No.
Yeah, so basically what Prabhupada is telling, now you have come to that impression, you know, you are at least realized that you are not the body, now you glorify the Lord's pastimes, which are palatable. It's convenient. You cannot go speculate on Brahman further. Because Brahman is, you know, there is no activities. It's inactivity. And he says palatable. Why?
But
why it's palatable? Why it's palatable?
Because it's relishable, right? I mean, it's
yes.
Something that you can talk about.
Yeah.
You cannot talk about Brahman.
So, there's Chaturshloki, Gita, where it says palatable.
10.8.
Tushyanticha Ramanticha. The devotees, right, when they just talk about the Lord, what do they get? Tushyanticha Ramanticha. They are satisfied, completely satisfied by discussing about the Lord. It's palatable and it's convenient.
And the Lord loves it because Lord says He is most dear to me whoever
yeah.
talks this message of mine, which means talks about Him.
Yep.
Right? He's more dear to me. So.
Can we also understand that statement? Like, does the learned man describe the birth and activities of the unborn and inactive? Their unborn and inactive refers to the Brahman feature, and the birth and activities are Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why Prabhupada says, if you take advantage of the narration activities of the Lord, which are meditations on the Brahman.
Yeah.
Is that also...
Yeah. Basically, it's the same. Again, it's a non-dual substance. We are talking about the fact. That's why we have to go back. This whole thing is based on 1.2.11. Yeah. Let's take the purport. Verse 35. Both the Lord and the living entities are essentially all spiritual. Therefore, both of them are eternal. And neither of them has birth and death. The difference is that the so-called births and disappearance of the Lord are unlike those of the living beings. The living beings who take birth and again accept death are bound by the laws of material nature. But the so-called appearance and disappearance of the Lord are not actions of material nature, but are demonstrations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are described by the great sages for the purpose of self-realization. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord that his so-called birth in the material world and his activities are all transcendental. And simply by meditation on such activities, one can attain realization of Brahman and thus becomes liberated from the material bondage. In the Shrutis, it is said that the birthless appears to take birth. The Supreme has nothing to do, but because he is omnipotent, everything is performed by him naturally, as if done automatically. As a matter of fact, the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his different activities are all confidential, even to the Vedic literatures, yet they are displayed by the Lord to bestow mercy upon the conditioned souls. We should always take advantage of the narrations of the activities of the Lord, which are meditations on Brahman in the most convenient and palatable form. In other words, as Shyamala Mataji pointed out, right? As a matter of fact, the appearance and... Basically, what is that? Simply by meditations, activities, meditation. In the Shrutis, it is said that the birthless appears to take birth. So when you say Brahman, it's eternal. Yeah, it's avyakta, it's unmanifest. But how does it take birth? So basically, the same impersonalist who perceived as an impersonal Brahma Jyoti, but he comes and takes birth.
So personal becomes impersonal and then again becomes personal.
No. Brahmanohi pradishtaham. So the Brahma Jyoti is based on Lord.
Right. There is something called Brahman, there is another thing called Parabrahman. There is Krishna as Parabrahman.
But we don't want to go dwell. What Prabhupada's point is that we don't want to go do too much dwell into this and become impersonalist.
The point
what Prabhupada is trying to make is that unmanifest, unborn, how he's taking birth. So the same unmanifest, the same Brahman, that's why you have to understand 1.2.11. If you don't understand that, you cannot come here. This is based on 1.2.11. The same non-dual substance is realized by three ways. One is Brahman. Next one is Paramatma, then Bhagavan. The same non-dual supreme absolute truth. So what Prabhupada is saying is, don't stay in the first level, come up to the second and third level. That's what this is. This is invitation to go up to the second and third level. Yes, Prabhu.
Even though for the third level, for devotees, it's just Krishna. I mean, you don't need to. Prabhupada's purpose is, you know, he is unborn, Krishna is unborn. So Krishna says, I don't have any duty to perform, he's an actor. And he performs activities in a transcendental platform, and he is birthed in a transcendental way. So for devotees, the whole thing is Krishna. It doesn't. So it is for in that way, because the ninth chapter he says Natasya Karyam, third chapter. So I don't have any duty to perform. So in that way he is an actor. So he is unborn also. And it assumes transcendently he takes birth and he performs that too. So it's all about Krishna. So at least that's how I
my understanding is the last 2 points make complete sense. Most convenient and palatable. It's an impersonalist.
So basically, you are right. What Prabhupada is trying to tell is, ask the impersonalist, don't stay in your eternal platform, come to the another platform. So we can come to the another platform only when you go to the personality. So again, this is the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So verse 36. Let's read together. Sava idam vishvam amoga lila srijati avati atti na sajjate smin bhuteshu chantaritta atmatantra sadvargyam jagrati shadguneshah. So there is very, very important key words in this shloka. Translation. Lord, whose activities are always spotless, is the master of six senses, and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. Okay. The Lord, whose activities are always spotless, this is Amogalila. Amogalila means the Lord, when his activities, there is no flaw, there is no mistake. It's always perfect. He is the master of the six senses. Sadguna Esha. The last word. Sadguna Esha. He is the master of the six senses. Sadvarjikam. He is the possessor of six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them. Srijati Avati Atti. Srijati means creates, maintains. Avati Atti means, you know, destroys. And with them, without being least affected, he is within every living being and he is always independent. So now we are talking about Paramatma. So from Brahman, we go to Paramatma feature. Purport. The Lord is transcendental to all material afflictions because he is full with all six opulences, namely wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. And thus he is the master of the senses. He creates these manifested universes in order to reclaim the living beings who are within them suffering threefold miseries, maintains them, and due course annihilate them without being the least affected by such actions. He is connected with this material creation very superficially, as one smells odor without being connected with the odorous article. Non-godly elements, therefore, can never approach him despite all endeavors. So, this is Paramatma feature. So, we talked about Brahman feature. Now, going one step further, how the Lord creates, maintains, and annihilates. Actually, in Bhurijan Prabhu explains, basically the Lord goes, you know, he expands himself into Garbhodakasai Vishnu and then Kshirodakasai Vishnu. Garbhodakasai Vishnu is there, you know, within each and every universe, and then Kshirodakasai Vishnu is there within each and every atom. So as Paramatma, the Lord is there within each and everyone's heart, and he is trying to reclaim the living entities from this material suffering to go to the spiritual world. And there are so many things from Bhagavad Gita where, you know, Krishna says, basically he is actually, you know, impartial. He is neutral. Udasinavat. He is not, you know, partial. He is neutral to everyone. You know, somebody wants to become dog, he will also accompany. If somebody wants to become demigod, he will also accompany. So as Paramatma, he goes with every one of us and to
someone
guide us.
Someone has to apply a lot of effort because the Lord is connected very superficially with the material creation.
Yeah. So in other words, the Lord doesn't come personally create. It all happens by his glance. It's by his will. Right? Everything is, as Sundaranda told the verse from Shweta, what is the Upanishad? Shweta Sarupanishad, right? Naham na tasya karyam karnancha vidyade parashya shaktir vividai shuyate. Parashya shaktir vividai shuyate. He has, you know, supremely transcendental energies. Just by his will, everything is happening. Right? Just by his glance, everything is happening. He's not personally connected. But he's, you know, by his will, everything is happening.
So this was Prabhupada's book, Science of Self-Realization. In the first chapter is based on this verse. It talks about the six opulences, his creative potency, based on this verse.
Can I just add one point?
In
the first part of the purpose, we did not mention that Amogh Leela, Prabhupada says, is spotless.
There is nothing lamentable. There is nothing lamentable in his creation.
So he just adds to this elaborate on that, saying there is nothing lamentable in his creation.
Yep.
Because his creation is also his leela.
Yep.
It's not just the Divya leela of Krishna's pastimes. The material creation itself is his leela. And then Prabhupada beautifully writes, because there is nothing lamentable in his creation,
one who causes disturbance is ultimately disturbed. Those who cause disturbance, they are disturbed.
There is nothing lamentable in this creation because it's spotless. Right? Because the creation itself is spotless. So those who create disturbances in his creation, they are themselves disturbed.
Yeah, Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Basically, he is the complete whole. Even though complete units are made from him, he remains complete. But anything we see incomplete, that is due to our incomplete, you know, our lack of understanding. True, I think maybe Madhusudan can explain. So the prime difference between the Lord and the living entities is that the Lord is the creator and the living entities are created. Here he is called Amogh Leela, which indicates that there is nothing lamentable in his creation. Those who create disturbance in his creation are themselves disturbed. He is transcendental to all material affliction because he is full of six opulences.
So themselves disturbed means straying more and more away from Krishna. That's what it means.
Yeah, when you are away from Krishna, that's the reason we are here in the material world. Material creation.
If you create more disturbance, you'll be more and more away.
Yeah. You'll be disturbed.
That's what it means.
Yeah. So verse 37. The foolish with a poor fund of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama, nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is always in a transcendental position, even when he is within the material world. But ignorant men consider the Lord one of the great personalities of the world, and thus they are misled by the illusory energy. Which verse is this? Mogasha Moga Karmano, but before that. Avajananti Mamoda Manushim Tanu Mashritaha Parambhava Majananto Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. So the foolish men think that I am one of the human beings. Right? And because of that, what happens? Mogasha Moga Karmano. Because they are bewildered by the illusory energy and they cannot understand anything about the Lord.
But today's foolish men are totally denying the existence of the Bhagavad Gita itself also, right?
That's why we have SSR.
Just a book. Huh?
That's why we have SSR. It's your duty.
agree. No, but you know, jokes apart, they are even denying the existence of the literature itself.
Yeah, but that's why you need to go to SSR. SSR is first one we discuss about your own reality, then does God exist?
And you have to break that.
Yeah.
And the point there is, nor can they express things either by their speculations nor
not
in their words. Like if you look at the libraries, right, we have millions of books of words which are all not expressing this reality.
Yeah.
So one book versus million books.
Right. Yep, that's a very good point, yeah. So, verse 38. Sa veda dhatu padavim parasya duranta viryasya ratanga pane yo mayaya santatya anuvritya bhajeta tatpada saroja gandam. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power and transcendence. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power and transcendence. Purport. Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself guides the pure devotees toward the path of realization due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord in spontaneous affection. That is the secret of entering into the kingdom of God. Fruitive activities and speculation are now no qualification for entering.
What is wheel of chariot?
So, Sudarshan Chakra and also When Krishna basically Bhishma told that I will make sure that you will break your vow, because Krishna told I am not going to take any weapon. Bhishma told I will make sure that you will break your vow. So because Bhishma is the devotee of Lord Krishna, he said for his devotee he broke. And these two ways, for his devotee Bhishma, for his devotee Arjuna. So because Bhishma became so arrogant, he is fighting with Arjuna. Arjuna is bleeding and Krishna could not tolerate. He says, okay, now it's time, that's it, I'm going to go kill you. So he takes the wheel of chariot and goes to kill Bhishma. So the Lord who cares for the devotees. Anya bilashata sunyam jnana karmavi anavritam anukulena krishna anusilanam bhakti ruttama.
Another one. Only when you are totally satisfied by serving the Lord, only then can you understand the Lord. And then otherwise not by your own.
Yeah, this beautiful verse, Prabhu, from Nectar of Devotion.
Yeah.
Starts with tongue.
Yeah, jivadu, yeah. Seva mukhe jivadu.
But what is the first? Adashri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Grahyam Indriyai. Sevan Mukohi Jihvado. Swami Yavas Puratyataha. So the Lord's name, form, pastimes, you know, are transcendental, which cannot be understood by our material senses. But only when we satisfy the Lord by his service, which starts with the tongue, by chanting his names, then the Lord actually reveals himself to the such a person, sincere person. 39. Let's read together. Ateha dhanya bhagavanta ittam yad vasudeve kila lokanate kurvanti sarvatmakam atmabhavam na yatra bhuya pravirta ugraha. Translation. Only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant. For such inquiries, invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes, and guarantee sent person immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. So this is actually Sudha Goswami glorifying all the sages of Naimisharanya for making such an inquiry. They asked for those specific questions which invoked, right, talking about the Lord and glorifying the Lord. It says, only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant. For such inquiries, invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes and guarantees sent person immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. purport. The inquiries of the sages headed by Shaunaka are herewith praised by Suta Goswami on the merit of their transcendental nature. As already concluded, only the devotees of the Lord can know him to be a considerable extent, and no one else can know him at all. So the devotees are perfectly cognizant of all spiritual knowledge. The personality of Godhead is the last word in the absolute truth. Impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma are included in the knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So one who knows the personality of Godhead can automatically know all about him, his multipotencies and his expansions. So the devotees are congratulated as being all successful. A 100% devotee of the Lord is immune to the dreadful material miseries of repeated birth and death. So Suda Goswami glorifies. So I just want to read one thing from Bhurijan Prabhu. Jiva Goswami states, Bhagavad Sandarpa Anucheta 46, that text 35 may be understood by studying it with text 33 and 34. Text 33 explains that one may become free from the ignorant of identifying with the gross and subtle bodies by gaining full spiritual knowledge. This will allow one to see the Lord. Text 34 explains that when the illusory energy subsides, one's own spiritual form becomes manifest. Finally, 35 states that the learned men who take pleasure in the Supreme Self describe the births and activities of the super soul, the Lord in the heart. Thus, when material misconceptions subside, the transcendental treasure of directly perceiving the Lord's birth and activities become manifest. Then we can understand that the Lord's form and pastimes are filled with spiritual bliss. This is a gradual progress from, you know, impersonal Brahman to Paramatma to Bhagavan. So with that, I stop.